the truth about markets. The God's honest truth about markets. Are you hot? Of course you are. Did you suffer 114 degree heat prostration taking the tube this past week? Of course you did. Is the MRSA superbug kicking your ass? Of course it is. There's a new superbug in the hospitals now, and the British people are calling it C. difficile. C. point difficile in French, of course. Kind of a left-handed slap to the French people. Because in France, of course, they don't have these problems with their transportation system, their health system, their education system, because they haven't sold out to the highest bidder. They haven't sold out to Bechtel, Halliburton, and American contractors. You want to see the future of contracting business in UK? Look at what's happening in Iraq right now. You've got U.S. contractors have gone to war with U.S. soldiers. You've got Americans fighting Americans in Iraq. The Taliban is just sitting back with a big bowl of popcorn, watching Americans fight Americans. What's happening in Russia? Russia, another bastion of neoliberal economics these days. You've got the highest suicide rate in their armed forces than they've ever experienced. And it's not only suicide, but homicide. You've got Russian soldiers killing Russian soldiers. Once again, the Taliban is just sitting back with a big bowl of popcorn. Let's watch some Russians kill each other. Yeah, they can't afford TV, but they got some good entertainment. I'll tell you that much. This is The Truth About Markets here in Residence, 104.4 FM here in the West End of London. My name is Max Kaiser. Yeah, we struggled through the rain to get to you. Nothing can stop us. Rain, sleet, or snow, we deliver. Just like the U.S. Postal Service before it got privatized. Now they don't deliver. Jack Doodley Squad. With me on board, my co-pilot is always Stacey Herbert.
Hi, Max Kaiser.
What's
I'm here.
Babe?
I'm here. I just made it back from Glastonbury where I took too many drugs and
rolling in the mud?
Rolling in the mud with Kate Moss.
Yeah, I loved it. I think I'd like to see Freud do a portrait of you and Kate Moss rolling in the mud naked. Lucian Freud.
I think that's a good
I'd like to see all tangled limbs akimbo.
Uh-huh.
In the mud in Glastonbury, listening to some hot new music.
Yeah, so...
rubbing carpets.
The freak weather.
Freak weather around the world. Of course, you can't really call it freak weather anymore because it's the new norm. It's the new normal. Weather systems around the world are breaking down because of climate change and man-made global warming. And that's why I don't mind calling myself Max Kaiser Dead Man Talking. I'm a dead man talking. Why? Because thanks to Exxon, a.k.a. Auschwitz, we have turned the globe into one big death oven where climate change and global warming is heating up, boiling us alive. You know, this is the natural outcome of a neoliberal capitalist model. It's called fascism. It happened in the 40s when you had capitalism, reach its end game. Then you had the U.S. forces come in there, liberate the poor people that had become under the death grip of fascism with American democracy and candy bars. But now here we are 60 years later and the same thing's happening in America and the UK. Fascism's reared its ugly head, except it's got a new brand name. It's called Exxon, Monsanto, HSBC, predatory lending. Predatory lending is really the financial death camps of our day. If you think about it, these people are getting mortgages that are 100% of equity in their home, 120% of equity, negative amortization. You're consigning these people to basically serfdom. They're going to go back to lords and serfs as if it ever ended in this country. You still have lords, don't you? The lords never went away. You got a house of lords. You got a whole house full of lords. You got the aristocracy living out in the countryside, just counting their millions they make in the oil and diamond business. They don't care about you. No. Speculating your life away, gambling your life away, speculating in the housing market. Well, they're going to pull away the punch bowl soon. Interest rates will skyrocket and you'll be left holding your dick. It's not a pretty picture. And the global weather picture mimics the global financial picture. These two go part and parcel with each other. Parapessu, to use another Frenchism in this show. Because, when we finish this show in London, in the West End, we get on the Eurostar and we head back to Paris. And we do a big radio show in Paris all week long.
From Pigalle. Huh?
Until that station goes broke. Then we'll be moving back to London.
Yeah. In which case, residents might not be here by then.
Nah, residents will be here.
According to this weekend's, last weekend's Guardian.
What are they saying in the Guardian about residents?
I don't know. Apparently, Ed downstairs hasn't told us, but they might not get
there. Ed downstairs. Ed downstairs. The new action thriller starring Steven Seagal. Ed downstairs. Just when you thought all was lost. Out from downstairs pops Ed. Pepperoni pizza in hand to save the day. You know, speaking of freak weather and the global ecology and habitats breaking down, mm-hmm. You know, in Australia, they are so desperate for water because of the drought situation that they're recycling raw sewage.
To drink.
As potable water.
Wow.
You know,
that has to be nasty, really.
Well, I'm sure it's not, you know.
You have to be in dire straits to be drinking your neighbor's poo.
You would think so. You would think that would be the tip-off, that maybe the economy model that you're worshipping is not working too good, drinking your neighbor's poo water. But apparently it's not the big tip-off for them. They're thinking, oh, well, you know, this doesn't taste that bad. It's like your own farts. You know, you figure, oh, it's not that bad. This doesn't smell too bad.
No.
Once you drink your neighbor's poo water a few times, you get, you know, it's not that bad. And, you know, the thing about it is, it's funny because I'm sure a lot of the Aboriginal pee ends up in the water. And, of course, you have these right-wing, neoliberal Australian white people drinking Aboriginal pee eventually, you know. Particle for particle, you can't differentiate Aboriginal pee in the water, then you really can't molecularly separate it from the hydrogen and the oxygen there. It's going to have essence of Aboriginal pee is going to be in the water. So I think ultimately this proves that the friction between the Aborigines and the white people in Australia was really more of a sexual thing.
You think,
you know,
so?
It's unrequited love.
They're now drinking their urine.
Now they finally got together.
It's golden shower. They
golden
should just
shower.
Go straight to the golden shower. Forget all this.
Aboriginal,
know,
golden shower water from Sydney. Available now from Tesco. Tesco, Aboriginal pee water from Tesco, only $9.99 for a six-pack. Yeah, get together with your brother, man.
I think
get
that's
together
what Ed
with
was
your brother,
drinking
man.
Downstairs.
No, he's drinking Jack Daniels and Lye.
I think it was Jack Daniels and Mecca Cola.
It's a new drink that a lot of kids are drinking now. Lye.
Oh, yeah, that's old-fashioned. They don't really
Jack
do Lye
well,
anymore.
Ed's kind of an old-fashioned guy.
Whatever,
you know,
happened to Lye?
Guy.
Whatever happened to Lye?
Well, remember, if you saw the movie, Spike Lee's movie, which he made about Malcolm X,
yeah,
called,
yeah.
I believe it was called Malcolm X.
It was called Malcolm X, yeah.
You know, they used Lye back in the old days to make their hair straight, the black community.
They got
what was called a conk, was the hairstyle of that time, the conk. And they used Lye, and it was, of course, it's very hot. And there's that scene where Denzel Washington is running around, his scalp is practically on fire, trying to get the conk, and then he has a revelation that the black man is not supposed to be having this lye poured on their head, you know, and you had the civil rights movement in America.
As a result?
As a result of the conk and the lye. This gave birth to the civil, and then you had Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat for that white man.
Mm-hmm.
You had civil rights movement in America, which was really going strong there for a while. It looked like, you know, there would be some kind of racial equality and opportunity in America. But then the white neo-Christian neo-conservatives started killing all the black leaders and the Kennedy boys. So then you got Reagan come back in and the whole nightmare once again. Nightmare. White man nightmare.
And he built some prisons to hold them all in.
Gonna build a prison. Gonna put them blacks in prison. Yeah, it's the fastest growing population in America is the prison population. Of course, you lose your right to vote once you go into prison. But the people who build the prisons, the private contractors, also own the restaurants and the hotels near the prisons. So when you go visit your Uncle Leroy in jail, stay at the hotel and eat in the restaurant, you're all supporting the local white guy. Speaking of local white guys who now have the ability to disenfranchise anybody they see fit, They got a huge backing this past week. This is really the nub, the nettle, the essence of this show. If you're just tuning into this show, forget about the first few minutes of the show. They're meaningless. They're nothing. It's like just a preamble to the main event. The main event of this show today, London, here on Resonance Radio 104.4, The Truth About Markets, is that the Supreme Court in America just last week voted to allow businesses to take away private property from fellow citizens to make room for more private property. Tell us more about this, Stacey. I know you've been up on this.
This is a devastating case, yes. Apparently, you're allowed to now confiscate private property at will, as long as you have connections. One of the few dissenters, well, actually there were four dissenters in the Supreme Court, one of them, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, says that any property may now be taken for the benefit of another private party. I can't speak.
P-P-P-P-P. You got problems with your P's.
P-P-P. But the fallout from this decision will not be random, she wrote. The beneficiaries are likely to be those citizens with disproportionate influence and power in the political process, including large corporations and development firms. So remember, just last month, and I think we spoke about this, George Bush was over there meeting with Vladimir Putin, and he said, yes, I have expressed to Mr. Vladimir Putin that I'm dismayed with his lack of consideration for private property rights, namely of the private property rights of the oligarchs who launder their money through our own banking systems and maintain our high GDP growth. Anyway, so what does he do? He comes back to America, and the Supreme Court gets rid of private property rights in America. No longer are there private property rights in America. It is now officially a Stalin-esque state. You know, they've been talking a lot about these gulags, right, that they've been building over in Guantanamo, and Britain's contribution to it is, of course, Diego Garcia and Bagram and Abu Ghraib. Okay, you've got the gulag system. Now you need to have the last bit, private property rights, annihilated. Doesn't look good.
Well, it's incredible, you know, that Putin was lectured on private property rights from George Bush, and then within the same week, the U.S. Supreme Court has overruled private property rights in America, opening the way for, yeah, it's sad, really. I mean, it's hard to it's hard not to get choked up and start crying a little bit because, you know, I was born in America, and just to see it flushed down the toilet by Bush and his cronies is really heartbreaking.
I actually grew up in this little town which this case is based on. It's called New London, Connecticut, and it's right next to Pfizer, so it kind of smells like a big petri dish. It smells awful. Anyway, yeah, they're raising these homes in order to build a hotel, some health clubs and offices, and this is like for the public good, right? And I wonder what they're doing. There's a roller skating rink on that road too, just in that same neighborhood.
Right.
I don't know if they're tearing that down, but that's where I used to boogie on down.
Memories.
Upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively.
Like the corners of your mind.
I used to roller skate backwards. I was so good.
Misty took together memories.
Memories.
Areolas too. Lactation squirting milk into my eye.
That's better than Majur.
Who the hell is Majur?
You know, that's the question.
Who that is always up. Give us a call here at Residence 104.4 if you know who the hell is Majur. Majur.
I never danced to any of his songs at the roller skating rink. I can tell you that.
No, he wasn't born yet. He's like 12 years old, Majur.
No, he's bald and short.
He's got leukemia. He's 12 years old. He's had, you know,
it's all
therapy.
This air pollution. You know, the last week in the UK, we've been on high alert, haven't we? Because the air is basically poisonous. It's turned to just a stew of poison.
Yeah, that's the PPP partnerships. Thank God for Gordon Brown and Tony Blair. They got those corporations. They're helping us. They put soot in the air. Now we're dying. Thank you. They're betting on our deaths in the spread betting market.
Exactly.
Brown and Blair. You know, they've taken out spread bets. How many people in Britain are going to die this week from air pollution? They don't support carbon caps or carbon trading, really.
Yeah.
You know, Blair famously retracted his mandate for UK corporations to cap their carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm.
He gave in to the lobbying of the big carbon emitters like Exxon, a.k.a. Auschwitz, to come into this country and create the climatological oven of which we are all now dying. But
thanks, Tony.
You know, he's buying these spread bets, basically. Every time a UK dies of emphysema, Britain dies of emphysema, lung complications, brain tumors, pollution-related sicknesses, he makes a big pop. He makes some money on this thing. I think he's going to make money.
Speaking of climate change, how about Sir Bob Geldof, major celebrity league asshole? did you see what... Oh, I shouldn't have said the whole part. Okay.
Sorry, you can say ass.
Major celebrity he's donkey. Yeah. Anyway, you see that he's warned any of these artists performing at Live 8 that they're not allowed to talk about climate change because he doesn't want to upset Bush.
Geldof is a moron. He's doing more harm than good. As George Mobiot has said in The Guardian, who's a respected columnist. I read his column. I like his column. George Mobiot is a smart guy.
Yeah.
He calls it like it is. He has pointed out that Geldof and Bono are doing more harm than good. Because they give people a false sense of accomplishment because nothing's really changing. The numbers that people are talking about in terms of forgiving the debt to Africa are minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when push comes to shove and you blow away the smoke, what's going on here is that Geldof and Bono are really promoting the neoliberal model. The neoliberal model is what got Africa into a bad situation to begin with. So here you've got two very high-powered celebrities who go on TV a lot. And you've got Geldof, who owns a TV production company, who complained recently that the valuation of the TV production company wasn't high enough. He thinks that his altruism should make the TV production company 10 albums worth another 20 million pounds more.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Bono, who's an investment banker now. He's joined a private board of a private banking equity house.
Elevation Partners.
These guys are coming out and saying, you know, we got to help Africa with the neoliberal model.
Mm-hmm.
They're just lining their own pockets, basically. They're not helping nobody except themselves. Okay? And I'll give you the three-point plan. If you think what I'm saying is wrong, let me break it down to you easily, into one easily digestible three-point plan. You too, the,
not the
fish
band.
And chip munching Brit, can understand even what I'm about to say. And our global audience around the world that tunes into Resonance 104.4, you know, they're podcasting now around the world.
Exactly. We've been getting fan mail from Oregon, from Washington State, from all over America, from New Jersey, from Virginia.
Desperately. They're desperate, seeking ways to escape the gulag of the American system. But here's the 3.1 plan. Number one, they want to forgive loans to Africa.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Number two, the loans that they're forgiven,
I think we already discussed this last week.
No, really?
Yeah. It sounds exactly like the podcast I listen to.
Well,
we already know that they have to like convert to evangelical Christianism and hand over all their resources. Speaking of handing over all your resources and your companies, how about China buying Unocal or bidding for Unocal?
Okay, well that's a good topic.
This is coming back. This is the same exact neoliberal Washington consensus as applied to Latin America and Africa, now being reapplied back to America from China. Because how can America say no when they're so in debt? And who do they owe the money to? Who's the guy collecting?
China.
So,
you know what Malcolm X said? It's the chickens coming home to roost.
Is that what he said?
You know, I mean, he got into
he foresaw this situation.
He foresaw the whole Chinese situation. He could tell up there, 125th Street. He's getting conked. He saw, you know what, the Chinese, year 2005, the chickens are going to go home to roost.
So let's see. So the American taxpayer, right, America is in debt, never to be able to get out of it. It's way too much. They just owe too much, right?
Without a major devaluation of the U.S. dollar.
They're in debt because they had to finance the military adventures to secure the oil around the world in the first place.
Check.
But now they're so in debt that China has decided to come and collect, i.e. take their oil companies.
Check.
So these Chinese men, they are so smart. They didn't bloody a finger. They didn't have to raise a rifle or an Uzi or drop a bomb on anybody.
No.
They have good karma. They know all about karma over there on that side of the world. And look, they didn't have to do anything. They just let the Americans blow away everything, spend all their money, and it was fun while it lasted, but now it's over.
You know, working on Wall Street for many years, you learn something.
What's that? Where to buy the best drugs?
You learned that, of course, in the 80s. The Wall Street was covered in a blanket of snow. But you learned something from the Jews on Wall Street.
Yeah. What's the saying?
Well, no, the Jews on Wall Street and the Jews in New York have a reputation for cutting good deals.
Uh-huh.
But you ask a Jew in New York who the best deal makers are in the world, and they'll tell you the Chinese.
Oh, will they?
They tell you the Chinese. The Chinese have a global reputation as being the shrewdest business people to ever walk the face of the earth. And they are now getting their day in the sun. And they, as you point out, have let America walk into the Roach Motel of fiscal irresponsibility by lending them hundreds of billions of dollars to buy Chinese goods.
Uh-huh.
That money ends up going back to China. Then they're used all that money that was given to them back, so the cost of them relatively zero, to buy oil assets in the form of these corporations as a hedge against the U.S. failing in Iraq. I think a lot of people are mystified. Why would the Chinese buy corporate oil assets when they can drill it out of the ground, you know, just as cheaply or cheaper? And the answer is that they need to hedge against the U.S. failure in Iraq. You know, the globe is making massive bets now in the various financial markets around the world because they anticipate the U.S., the odds are that the U.S. is going to fail in Iraq. They're not going to win this war. It's not even close anymore. They're losing big time. You talk about the comparison to Vietnam. Vietnam was a cakewalk compared to Iraq. How many? We lost $50 billion in Vietnam and 58,000 men. Well, so far it's costing $1 billion a week and just climbing 10% every week in Iraq. That number is going to shoot through the roof. It's going to make Vietnam look like a pinprick. Who knows? And before
General Abizad says that too, doesn't it?
We have somebody in the studio. Joey John, yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Joey John.
Famous rock and roller from...
from New York.
New York.
Speaking of New York, he's another climate refugee from the bad climate of bad culture and bad...
climate refugee, Joey John. You know, Joey John's a guy who came up with a very famous saying, just say no to Joey's crack.
Joey's butt crack.
He likes to go into bars in Paris. That's where we know him, primarily in Paris. I know we're in London. Joey's in London. He's got a gig down at the Lord Fauntleroy Club later on tonight at midnight. It's Joey John's experience. He's got his whole 50-piece orchestra with him, with the strings and the harp. He's doing all of John Cage's back catalog of music. He's doing Lou Reed, and he's going to be doing every Beatles song not published. It's going to be Joey John tonight at Lord Fauntleroy Club at midnight. But he's the one who came up with Just Say No to Joey's crack, because he likes to flash his crack wherever he goes. If you see him tonight, for example, he'll probably expose his crack during the show.
It's pretty scary.
Well, it depends.
It's pretty scary.
It's a different type of thing. Some different people are into different things.
Everyone has cleavage. Girls have it in the front. Boys have it in the back. It's nice to share. There's nothing wrong with sharing.
Man,
the guy's a genius. He's a poet. He's a poet.
He looks like Jack Black. He sounds like Jack Black.
He's the man.
The man, but...
Jack Black on Dexedrine.
you should check out Joey John, though.
Yeah,
look him up on the internet. He's a pretty good singer.
Yeah, he's got the whole rock and roll thing.
So he keeps telling us.
He's got the rock and roll hangover show. He's on another radio station in Paris.
I'm spending $1 billion a week to keep this life alive. $1 billion in a week, and it's raising 10% every week.
So let's get out of Iraq. Let's take this guy off life support system, because you should see his crack. It's not nice.
That's
he needs to be put
people...
out.
My crack is $1.5 billion a week. That's a big crack.
There's hope. There's hope yet. There's hope still. Oh, this is interesting. I just got some massive.
Okay. Speaking of. Ooh,
thanks, guys.
Speaking of crack.
Right.
Let's move on. Let's move on with this. Pleasurable experience here.
Well, you know,
the truth about markets.
It's not just us who says we're losing in Iraq. If you listen to General John Abizad.
Yes.
He's huge in the U.S. military.
Is he the major don there? Is he who do they call those, the knuckle, you know, the guys who, the hitmen, you know, who work for the mafia?
Yeah, the Capito.
Yeah,
something
is that
like
him?
That.
That's him. He works.
No, he's a big dude, man. He's a big general. He's there, and he says basically, quite frankly, that the U.S. is losing. U.S. Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld What does the H stand for?
Why, that suddenly came in there. I've never known his middle initial.
Yeah, really? What's the H?
It must be some sort of secret code word for his, like, insurgents and his, like...
Donald H. Rumsfeld. I think H stands for horse.
His sleeper cells around the world. They're supposed to, like, suddenly sit up and go, time to fight for America.
I think it stands for a horse. You know, heroin. It's a cryptic message to his heroin dealers.
In Afghanistan.
You know, he needs to send him, Donald, more heroin. He's running low.
Speaking of U-2s, did you hear this U-2 spy plane crashed?
With Bono in it?
Yeah, no, but they claim that America, Donald Rumsfeld claims it was like coming back from some mission over Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And Iran is declaring it didn't fall in their territory. But America won't say where this U-2 spy plane crashed, but we know, because Scott Ritter told us, that we're about to invade Iran. So you heard it here first on The Truth About Markets.
Scott Ritter.
Your heroin supply is about to get a lot smoother.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you thought there was a lot of overdoses on the streets of London this past year due to the influx of heroin thanks to the Afghanistanian war, you're about to get even more heroin because they're going to invade Iran.
Yeah, so we're invading Iran. We own Iraq, okay? Two OPEC nations, two of the 11. Mm. What did America announce this week?
Yeah, what did America announce this week?
They're suing OPEC.
What?
Because of the price of oil is going too high. So... First of all, they're,
hello, crackheads.
Not only are they suing themselves because they are 20% of OPEC.
Right.
They're suing God because you have to complain to God because ultimately, God's the cause of this limited supply of oil.
Well, that's correct. I mean, the limited supply of oil has, in large part, factored in the fact that it's running out of oil. The globe is running out of oil. There's very little oil left. You know, they've been drilling it for 100 years. Uh-huh. And, the world's running out of oil. And as you run out of oil, you know, the old supply and demand thing kicks in.
Yeah.
And the price, of course, goes higher. That's why last week the price of oil was at over $60 a barrel. It would have to get to $80 a barrel before it even equals the high set in the 1980s, adjusted for inflation.
Yeah,
so $80 is an easy mark to achieve, and that doesn't even factor in the fact that since the 1980s, the supply has shrunk considerably. So oil at $100, $120 a barrel is quite conceivable. You see, back in the early 1980s, the reason that oil spiked was there was an artificial diminishment
in the supply.
Of supply.
Because of OPEC resenting the fact that America supported Israel's invasion of Lebanon, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know.
It had something to do with the Palestinian.
Israeli-Palestinian nightmare. You know, that whole thing has been going on. Anyway, there was market manipulation.
Exactly.
But now, 2005. The reason price of oil is skyrocketing is because there is an incredible demand.
Mm-hmm.
You see, China, once again, China is an insatiable desire for black gold, oil. And they're willing to pay for it because they're using free American dollars.
Exactly.
You know, it's free for them because they got all this free money from selling plasma TVs and trinkets to American bloated, obese, donut-munching evangelical a-holes.
Okay.
I don't think it's out of line to talk about Americans in this way.
American a-holes?
They are what they are. You know, Michael Jackson is American, not for nothing. He's kind of the prototypical American, desperately seeking to be something else other than a fraud.
I know why you thought of Michael Jackson. It was because of the a-hole thing.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about bleaching a-holes.
Apparently, this
is
a big trend.
Porn thing, right?
Yeah, because the ladies in these porn films, you know, they bleach their buttholes.
Right.
And as a consequence, all these, you know, this burgeoning, this explosion of porn watching by couples at home in America, the women have all become a little bit, jealous of the bleached butt look. So they've been getting the bleached butt. But we think that
it's a bleached sphincter. You have to be specific. Just it's not the just the butt. It's the actual rim, the eye.
The little brown hole.
Is being bleached by America. This is like the fastest growing cosmetic surgery type procedure in America because porn is becoming so popular in America that the housewives have sphincter envy from their porn star counterparts, and they want their little sphincters not to be so brown, you know.
So apparently the same thing, you know, in these Michael Jackson trials, we found out that he has a huge collection of porn. So clearly the man followed along with this trend because, you know, celebrities can't stop themselves from following trends.
Right.
And got the butthole bleached, found out he looked like a gollywog, but like a really demented one.
Mm.
It was like...
Right, because he had two big black butt cheeks and a white a-hole rim. He looked like a gollywog.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That must have been scary. Mm. And he scared all the little boys off when he was, you know, playing out in Neverland.
Right.
And in order to not stand out so much, he started bleaching further and further. And look what's happened.
It's a dangerous, slippery slope, that bleaching butthole thing.
Don't we just say no to butt bleaching.
Yeah,
butthole
just don't
bleaching.
Get started butt bleaching.
Butthole bleaching.
Don't even get started. It's not good. I mean, I would tell Karl Rove the same thing. That would tell Karl Rove the exact same thing.
Does Karl Rove bleach his butthole?
Apparently, Karl Rove bleaches his butthole because apparently he is in New York. Okay, now New York.
They're renowned for their butthole bleaching? Why? What's in New York?
Yeah, he is. Karl Rove is in New York.
Uh-huh.
He was in New York last week.
Yeah, what's he doing there?
He's whipping out the old 9/11 thing to make New Yorkers feel bad about not supporting Bush's policies of financial and fiscal rape.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, Karl Rove, he's like he's a sexual predator. You know, it's not for nothing that we went from the Michael Jackson thing to a Karl Rove. They're very kind of similar in their mentality, aren't they?
Exactly.
In other words, just like any sexual predator or financial or fiscal predator, like a Karl Rove, basically what he's telling New Yorkers is that if you don't like our policies of raping and maiming and murdering Iraqis for oil, you know, we're going to have Bin Laden come back here and knock down another one of your towers.
Yeah.
You know, Bin Laden works for us.
This is what the Republicans always threaton.
Yeah, they always threaten more 9/11s.
If you don't support, Tony Blair does this too. You know, if you don't support my policies, where you know, if you don't allow hospitals to be privatized, Bin Laden's going to get us.
So it's like a sexual predator that tells the, you know, the little 7-year-old girl that they just raped that if they tell their daddy, tell their mommy, they're going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Karl Rove's genius approach to politics, is accept the privatization suppository, which is nuclear, probably going to kill you.
Uh-huh.
Or door number two is we're going to send our buddy Bin Laden in again, take down more towers. You know, this is his idea of a good political messaging in New York. You know, when I lived in New York City for 12 years. You know, when I was living there, New Yorkers were tough. They wouldn't let a little pipsqueak like this get away with it.
Exactly.
The guy would
This is the New York I remember.
Tough New Yorkers. What happened to tough New Yorkers? They become little mamby-pamby little girls.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they lost 3,000 people on 9/11, big, tough dog dirt. Who cares, man? It's a cost of doing business. Be tough it out, or just, you know, be big or go home. That's what we used to say in Wall Street. Be big or go home. So what? You lost a few bankers on 9/11. Big deal. You know, that's the cost of doing business. That's business, Tony. Tony Soprano. Don't you watch The Sopranos? I thought the New Yorkers liked The Sopranos. You think Tony Soprano would let himself get pushed around by Karl Rove?
Anyway, it was GDP boosting. So,
that's right. 9/11 was a big GDP boost.
So they should
they're
going to
build new towers. It's going to give new jobs.
Yeah.
It's going to be good for the economy.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. We love it. It's creative destruction. It's neoliberalism.
Okay, but speaking of uranium suppositories,
yeah,
how about this one? I don't think the Brits know this yet, but they ought to. But in America, there's a network channel called ABC versus Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, the nephew of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
So last week, ABC canceled a story about a dangerous chemical in child inoculations. Okay, so ABC's original program showed how the vaccine industry, working with public health officials in America, by the way, from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and the federal government's Institute of Medicine, may have poisoned a generation of American children with a mercury-laced vaccine preservative, thimerosal. Now, remember last August, during everybody was away on bank holiday. Well, John Reed came out and didn't he give a press conference saying that they had changed the MMR jab or the first jab that you get as a child. It's now five vaccines in it. And he said, oh, and by the way, we removed the mercury thing, the thimerosal. But it wasn't, don't worry, it wasn't dangerous. Anyway, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s show showed that actually it's very, very dangerous because, you know, it's laced with mercury. There's only one other substance on Earth more deadly than mercury, and it's called uranium. That's what made me segue into this story.
Brilliant.
But apparently it's linked to autism. It's not the MMR jab. It's not having three jabs. It's not, it's mercury. It's just called mercury. It's called brain poisoning.
Well, that would explain the that guy they got in the EU commission now in Brussels from the old buddy of Tony Blair.
Peter Mandelson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's got mercury poisoning.
He's got mercury poisoning.
I think that's the problem.
Yeah, so anyway, because ABC had to re-edited it because they were forced to air it because hundreds of American mothers emailed into the network. You know, parents of autistic children demanded the show be aired. So the network re-edited the show into an industry piece trotting out a parade of scientists from the very criminals who allowed a generation of American children to be poisoned, the Institute of Medicine and the Center for Disease Control. The scientists from these places came out and said this is nonsense, where our researchers is impeccable and this is safe for children.
Oh, they're homicidal maniacs.
Exactly.
It's GDP boosting.
It's GDP boosting.
This Jack the Ripper now runs the Federal Reserve Bank. You know, they don't care. I mean, death is a growth industry because the capitalism has reached at the end game of its logical growth because the natural resources can't support capitalist growth anymore.
Once you have to start eating your young, I think it's pretty much the end. Didn't that happen? Isn't that how the Roman Empire, that was the first signal for the collapse?
Yeah, the capitalism is now eating itself.
They started bleaching their buttholes and eating their young.
Yeah, it's decadent.
Yeah.
You know, bread and circuses. So the American people, it's been replaced with reality TV and Krispy Kreme donuts has become the new bread and circuses. And you've got people in Washington seriously going down to the House of the Senate floor and arguing against greenhouse carbon emission caps because the science doesn't suggest that the globe is actually warming due to carbon emissions. And they say this while their ass is actually on fire. You know, they're in denial.
They're all that bleaching.
They think it's from the bleach. They think the reason their ass is on fire is because of the bleach. Uh-huh. But it's actually global warming that has spontaneously combusted their butts. And they're down there on the floor of the Senate arguing against climate change. And flames are actually belching out of their trousers from this very phenomenon that they're arguing doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the world looks at this. And the rest of the world, by the way, the rest of the world's opinion of America is so bad that according to a recent Pew research, China has a better reputation and a better public perception amongst people around the world than America. If you can believe that. But the research, tell us about it, Stacey. Tell us all about it here, Residence 104.4, The Truth About Market Show. Stacey Herbert, tell us about this Chinese situation again.
Well, I hope I can find the story. But in fact, I do know that 10 of 15 nations where they did this survey, interviewed tens of thousands of people, 10 out of 15 had an unfavorable opinion of America. The good qualities they saw in America were that they were inventive, right? The bad qualities, the negative qualities they saw in Americans in general was violence and greed. And Americans agreed with it.
Yeah.
The survey showed that Americans believed, I guess they saw this as a proud tradition. Yes, we're violent and greedy. And
but
that makes me a good American.
We're inventive.
Of course they are. We saw the photos. We saw the photographic evidence of their inventive violence.
In Abu Ghraib. Mm-hmm. Very inventive. I never knew you could twist up a human being like that before.
No.
Wow. That's so inventive and violent. It must be American. they're greedy because they're selling their stories to, publishers. Movie of the week.
Exactly. Actually, did you see the four U.S. soldiers who were having to protect Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
They're selling this story. They're writing a book about protecting Saddam Hussein.
Mm. And they're going to give the proceeds to Save Africa, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They say he's actually a really nice guy for a mass murderer. So is George Bush. So is Tony Blair.
They're all nice guys. That's what they learn in the Nuremberg trial. It's the banality
of evil.
Of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they learned in Nuremberg. That was one of the lessons.
Speaking of the banality of evil, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, that bastion of protecting your health, you know, the same guys who approve of mad cow disease, they think it could be, you know, be
it's
all
GDP
fun for
boosting.
Us. It's GDP boosting. Anyway, they're going to start
allowing. By the way, it's mad cow disease. You know what's really dangerous? Don't eat meat with a cow that's got that mad cow disease but also talks on cell phones. That's the double whammy. If you see a cow talking on a cell phone, if they also have mad cow disease, the chances of you getting sick.
Ending up like Bob Geldof.
You end up like Bob Geldof.
You might look like that.
If you eat the meat from a mad cow who talks on a cell phone, that's bad.
You might. Yeah. Anyway, so the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, they're going to approve the commercial exploitation of cloned livestock. So you're going to start eating cloned meat and milk from cloned farm animals.
Yeah.
They're saying this is in order to improve livestock quality around the world. So once again, America is suing God. We don't like the cows you created, and we're going to make different ones.
Well, this is clearly stupid.
Yeah.
Let me explain why. Because what you're going to end up is it's the problem of monoculture. You have cloned meat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So eventually, your stock of cows that you clone from will be diminishing.
Yeah.
You eliminate diversity in livestock. You eliminate diversity, the natural diversity. Natural diversity is the best defense against disease.
Yeah.
Against, this is what makes the brilliance of the Earth ecosystem what it is. It's infinitely diverse. So that if one little bit get sick or ill or extinct, you know, it's diverse. It can evolve quite readily. But when you have American idiots selling cloned beef so that your diversity of your various beef species, or it's cloned vegetables, or it's genetically modified seeds. This is the problem with genetically modified seeds. It's not that necessarily that it's bad for you. It's that you are encouraging a monoculture in your agriculture, which leads to incredible vulnerability. Because if any of these cows get sick, there's no diversity there from the stock in which to draw from. So that entire food stuff gets wiped out. If one of your genetically modified crops gets ill, you can't go to, you know, there's at one point in India, for example, there's like 5,000 varieties of rice. Well, they're adopting genetically modified seeds, and within a very short period of time, that millions of years of evolution to create diverse crops that is part of the human experience and the birthright of being human gets destroyed. You end up with one crop. And of course, if that goes bad, as it most surely will, the law of numbers says that eventually, in the near term, more assuredly than the long term, the crop goes bad, then it gets wiped out because there's no variety. There's no diversity.
Yeah, but you have to ask yourself, like, why? Why?
Because of Henry Ford.
Why try to sell?
Henry Ford said that, you know, you can have any color Model T you want as long as it's black.
Yeah.
We're going to create an assembly line.
Yeah.
We're going to disenfranchise the worker. We're going to get rid of artisanal workers who are working in ateliers. We're going to create the working stiff who just does one little bit of the assembly line. We're going to pay him something called a minimum wage. We're going to crank out cars which run on cheap oil, which emit carbon, which are going to be a threat to the environment, so that Henry Ford and his heirs can make a lot of money and everyone else gets screwed up the butt with their bleached buttholes. And this has been going on, really, for 100 years. It's taken flight in a way that not even Adam Smith could have predicted, because he came before the Industrial Revolution. His observations were picked up and mutated and by the Industrial Revolution, became turbocharged. And then in the 1970s, you had the creation of financial derivative products and options, which made it capable for idiots like Henry Ford and these mass serial capitalists who are into private-public partnerships in the UK, which are destroying the rail system and destroying the hospital system and destroying the education system, give them access to infinite credit. So any of these bozos can go to HSBC, Barclays Bank, Citigroup, and borrow virtually unlimited amounts of money to perpetrate a flawed model. that encourages monoculture, which is highly destructive to the long-term viability and survivability of the human species. That's the risks these guys are taking. That's the risks we face today on a daily basis. That's why people are taking antidepressant drugs, because they know in their heart of hearts their lives are being gambled with. By Blair, by Brown, by Bush, every single day they're gambling with these people's lives on the off chance that they'll get away with it, that they'll make a few extra bucks, and they'll be able to, you know, acquire a more expensive mistress. That's about it. They're in it for a little tiddlywinks, some titty games, some beach bums, some bleached bum holes. That's it. That's, they don't think any further. They're not thinking about the long-term consequences. They're not thinking about, like, during the Enlightenment, about creating a society that has values by and for the people. They're just thinking about getting laid in the most expeditious manner possible to acquire the most expensive hookers possible, which require a great deal of money, which means that they're going to throw everyone else under the bus and get completely destroyed by this model. And no one's doing it. No one is more guilty of this than the U.S. today under the current administration. They are, and let me say this quite clearly, they are financial and environmental terrorists. If you want to see a terrorist, look up George Bush on Google right now. You want to see a criminal, somebody who's a criminal, somebody who's a really nasty dude, look up Bin Laden. He's a bad guy. He's not a terrorist, not compared to Bush, not compared to Exxon. He's a pussycat. Yeah, he's like a pair of fluffy dice hanging from your rearview mirror compared to those guys. Those guys are evil incarnate. I mean, you know, I don't care if they mind what I say because I'm a dead man talking. They've already killed me. The environment is already collapsing. We're already choking. You're breathing the air in London today. The smog, the traffic, the dangerous trains, the MSR bug probably going to kill you. Okay?
The C. difficile
bug. We're dead now. We got nothing left. We've got nothing to lose. If we don't revolt right now, we'll never get another chance. Because the takeover of every single facet of our lives, our intellectual life, through the co-option of cyberspace and the digital space through patent and copyright law, the takeover of our food through genetically modified seeds, the bastardization of our food supply, of our air supply, public transportation of our health by private contractors, private corporations, is now reaching the end game. Either people stand up and revolt today, organize, like July 6th is I believe, the G8 conference.
Yes, it is.
Okay? There should be rioting in the streets.
Instead, there's going to be embedded protest with Live 8 and
Live
Sir
8.
Bob.
They're going to have a circus up there, a big show. They'll make some money. They'll leave town. Nothing will have changed.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you and Mr. and Mrs. Fish and Chips, your lives are getting worse and worse because the people who you voted for, probably in America's case, didn't vote for, are selling you down the river. But, you know, that's the way it goes. I tell you what I've been doing. You know, I mean, I sound angry and everything, but as a defense for myself.
What have you been doing?
I've been buying gold. Gold. Is
that the stuff that's in our closet?
Yeah.
I was wondering what was in the cupboard.
I'm buying gold.
It's like all this shiny gold stuff.
I'm buying gold because gold at $440 an ounce is cheap. Adjusted for inflation, it's cheaper than it was when it was $800 an ounce.
And what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to sit on my gold and watch it go to $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 an ounce.
Do you really think it's going to go that high?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because it's a very limited supply of gold in the world.
Uh-huh.
Because the amount of financial dislocation which will occur when the real estate bubble collapses and inflation really gathers pace so that the images, you know, famously from the Weimar Republic of the woman wheeling a wheelbarrow full of dollars to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we're talking about. In those circumstances, which we're now heading into, gold maintains purchasing power. So it's not all doom and gloom. If you really want to protect yourself and your family, buy some gold today. If you have some house and you're speculating in the real estate market, get out and get any cash you can and put some in gold. And this way, when the consequences of the actions of the Blairs and Bushes of the world that have privatized our natural assets and turned them into tradable pieces of paper, which are leveraged by thousands and thousands percentage of phony baloney money and credit, when it blows up, at least your gold will be worth something. You can cash your gold in at that point and buy a loaf of bread. You'll have done something for you and your family. Gold. You want to buy it? You don't want to store
gold.
If you don't want to store the gold in your house, obviously there's some risks to that. You can buy it as a closed-end fund on the New York Stock Exchange. The symbol is GLD. GLD trades for $44 a unit. Each unit corresponds to bullion.
That's only like gold. 22 pounds, 25 pounds.
Well, it's the spot price of gold. It adjusts every day to the spot price of gold. They just make it easier. They, instead of trading for $440 a unit, they make it easier to make it $44 a unit. But it's basically the price of gold. And you buy that gold, you put it in your account, and as the finances around the globe disintegrate, you have a little protection. And that's what I've been doing. So, Karl Rove is an idiot. George Bush is an idiot. Rumsfeld, Cheney, they're losing the war in Iraq. And the U.S. economy is collapsing. But, that's okay because I've got some gold. And out of the ashes will arise something new. Some new political reality will emerge. Some new smart people get a new country going. America 2, the sequel. Something new, something on cyberspace. And, life will continue, hopefully. Not too bad. If we get rid of these monopolist predators now, maybe the environment will heal itself somewhat. It's hard to imagine because the environment is so badly damaged. But, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, but remember all the things that Earth has already been through. Meteor strikes, dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs, They must have been as ravenous as humans. And what about the methane they must have been blowing out? It's cow methane, which is apparently causing a big contributor to global warming. You have to think that dinosaurs had giant
methane.
Dinosaur farts? Methane farts, yeah.
Dinosaur farts must have been awesome. You could probably hear them from three valleys away.
Exactly.
So there's Grog in his cave, and he hears the dinosaur fart from 50 miles away.
I've never, ever seen a story about dinosaur farts.
Yeah, they
ever.
Must be, in that movie that Steven Spielberg made about the dinosaurs, they had dinosaur poo.
Exactly.
Which were these, three-story tall poo droppings.
They must have emitted some methane farts.
This must have been huge.
It must have.
Absolutely incredible.
But perhaps, I haven't seen one single theory proposed that perhaps the dinosaurs actually died for this reason. Their methane farts destroyed the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
The ice age came because they destroyed the environment and went hot first. And then, the scientists are predicting with our own situation due to Auschwitz, it's going to be hot first and then it's going to go cold. We're going to have a global
cold. Well, methane is more damaging to the
It's nine times more potent than carbon dioxide. Yes.
Nine times. Well, that's the problem also with this huge reliance on meat, China. Yeah. As they become more affluent, they want diets richer in meat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big demand to cut down the forests in places like Brazil. The forests actually generating oxygen and replace that with cows that are emitting cow farts, which are nine times more destructive than even the carbon dioxide emissions from cars. So it's like the economics involved here in our destruction are plain to see. And that's why I'm buying gold.
Speaking of animals, though, did you see this story in Britain this week about shares in the British drugs firm Phyto Farm?
Phyto Farm?
Phyto. Not
here,
like,
Phyto.
Here, no.
Phyto Farm.
Phyto, Phyto, I guess.
Like the Greek dessert, a Phyto? A Phyto sandwich? No, a Phyto
that's
wrapped
a
honey and
phyllo.
Nut. Oh, phyllo.
Phyto Farm have slumped by 22% because investors feared attacks from animal rights militants, according to the BBC. And the broker who was handling Phyto Farm, Canaccord Capital, has quit as the broker after one of its bosses was the target of an incendiary device. Mm-hmm. So some car bomb, I guess, was set off, and he decided that the fee wasn't worth it.
Yeah, well, I support the people who support animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we're all animals.
They're practicing for the day when we have to support ourselves. Be kind to your animal rights activist because someday he may be protecting you. In other words, when these companies like these drug companies like Phyto Farm, whatever it is,
Phyto Farm,
Pfizer, Merck, when they get finished testing on animals, they're going to come testing on you, testing on me.
I think they probably are.
We lose our rights, right? I mean, their property rights are destroyed.
Yeah.
And
which means it's coming to Britain as well, because you know, Tony Blair, legal rights are
destroyed, civil rights are destroyed. So when the Pfizer says they need to test the drugs on humans, who's going to stop them? Who's going to stop Pfizer from testing drugs on humans in the way that they test drugs on animals right now? Nobody. So the animal rights activists, I support them because someday they're going to be defending me. We're all going to become the same way. This is the future. This is why, for example, the recent laws that were passed in the UK and the US to classify animal rights activists as terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they classify people like Timothy McVeigh, militia groups in the United States, as subversives, but not terrorists.
Yeah, they weren't. He wasn't included. His group wasn't included as terrorists. No. They're not a threat to America, but animal rights activists are. Right. Timothy McVeigh blew up that building in Oklahoma City, killed, 300 people? Mm-hmm. Most of them kids in the creche downstairs.
Yeah.
All dead. But he's not a terrorist.
No.
Because he's white, he's Christian, he's American.
But if you attack a pharmaceutical company for performing vivisection on some poor defenseless hamster,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get the full terrorist treatment. Off to Belmarsh for you.
Well, you know, they have the big conference, Biotech 2005, right now over in America, and I think it's taking place in New York. Or maybe that's where Karl Rove is. Maybe Philadelphia. But anyway, they're... America, UK, Germany, all these countries are trying to unite to unite in this war against animal rights activists. The same guys who brought you the war on terror are now bringing the war on animal rights activists.
Well, you know, these guys they lost the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. Afghanistan has never produced more heroin ever. Colombia is a pure narco state, and the flow of heroin into the UK and the US has never been higher. And in Mexico, you know, remember Escobar and that whole period, there was this huge spike in cocaine and whatnot. The amount of cocaine flowing into the U.S. from Mexico now has never been higher. So the war on drugs has been lost. This war on terror, they're going to lose that too. Because... Mm-hmm.
They're winning the war on Terra, T-E-R-R-A, the war on Earth.
Yeah.
They're winning that one.
Mm, indeed. And this whole animal rights thing, you know, animal rights activists are protecting you and me. That's the truth of it all, really. We ought to protect ourselves from these marauding corporations from doing tests on our brains. Do you want Pfizer ripping open your skull and sticking a probe down your brain? I don't think so. But they'll do it if they think they can make a nickel.
Yeah, so maybe their legislation is going to be like, have you ever owned an animal? Every time you get on a flight, they're going to say, have you ever owned an animal? Was its name Fido? And
well, you saw
that story, you're a terrorist.
You know,
you're
about
an animal rights activist.
The 19-year-old girl. Who was healthy when she went to see Eli Lilly.
Yeah.
You know, they tested some antidepressants on her.
Yeah.
Then she hung herself.
She hung herself.
She killed herself because she was taking the antidepressants. She went in healthy, and then she hung herself.
But the U.S. FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, Food and Drug Administration Company, the same people who are approving cloned meat and mad cow disease being fed through the United States food system.
Yeah.
The FDA say that they're not going to release the reports that about Eli Lilly and how their drugs are forcing you to become suicidal because it's corporate confidentiality.
Oh, yeah. It's corporate confidentiality.
They don't want anybody else to steal the ingredient.
Yeah.
The special recipe. This is better than Kentucky Fried Chicken, the Colonel Sanders special recipe. This is like a special pill. Drive your friends crazy.
Everyone else's confidentiality in terms of protecting themselves from ID theft, nobody does anything about that.
No.
Because they're not paying lobbyists in Washington to have no representation for the poor people that are getting their IDs stolen. They can't afford lobbyists to go to Washington to get any protection. And nobody can afford a lobbyist to go to Washington to protect themselves against these draconian fees that are being charged by banks at the ATM machines, the automatic teller machines. You know, the amount of money that they charge to get your own money keeps going up and up and up.
It keeps going up.
It's
a good thing
money.
You have gold. Are you going to be able to put
That's
a gold
my money.
Bar?
Why?
Are you going to be able to put a gold bar in there? Take this.
It's called thieving.
It's stealing.
I mean, the banks are stealing from us. They're stealing from us blind. I mean, they're making record profits because they're stealing money. Okay? They're making record profits because they're thieves. These are the people that are suggested to run the global economy and the so-called globalization. No wonder people are against globalization because it means putting the trust of the world's finances into the hands of groups like Citigroup and HSBC.
Or Bono.
Who steal us our money every single day. Mm-hmm. So we want to give them more authority and more power?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't think the listeners of Resonance 104.4 FM in London.
Where do they send their emails to?
TheTruthAboutMarkets@gmail.com.
TheTruthAboutMarkets@gmail.com.
Oh, if you put your fingers into your lips and say, I am a banker, it sounds like, I am a banker.
All right, y'all. Till next time, send us an email, thetruthaboutmarkets@gmail.com.